Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? We good? All right. Before we get into our last time together looking at God's Word up here at this retreat, just got a couple people I wanted to mention very quickly. Jill was shouted out for doing such a great job emceeing this weekend, but we all have to know that Jill did far more for this retreat than just simply emceeing this weekend. She, for years, has been planning this retreat, and she takes months usually to do that. She was on maternity leave all summer long with the boys, and she stepped back in at the beginning of September, and in 2 months, planned basically this entire retreat. Had a lot of great people helping her who we saw up here. But Jill, thank you so much for everything that you did to make this happen. I also, I have an extra dodgeball award that wasn't given out earlier. We'll get a gift card or something for this person. This is called the Innocent Bystander Award. Lots of people watching yesterday were hit with dodgeballs, and I just want to say, I see all of you. But Brian, in particular, was sitting up on the bleachers and just got drilled in the face with a dodgeball. Brian, I threw that dodgeball at... I'm serious right now. I'm serious right now. It got away from me, and it hit you. And when I saw how pure it hit you in the face, I did this. And I bailed. So, sorry. But headshots count. You're out, though. So just know that, okay? Yeah, headshots count. We're grown-ups here. Glad, guys, confession is part of what we do as a family. I'm glad I could get that off my chest. Thank you. Okay. Guys, so excited to be together for one final time this morning. Gonna try to do my best to keep it a little bit more concise, a little bit shorter this morning. I know that everybody's tired this morning. We were up late playing dodgeball and playing games. I also know everybody's anxious to get home, watch the Cowboys play the Steelers at 1:25. So we're gonna try to get out of here for that. I've also never had anybody tell me, I wish you preached longer, so we're going to try and keep it concise this morning. You guys bring your Bibles? We got Bibles this morning? All right, if you got your Bible open, back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're gonna end where we started this thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As we've been talking about over this weekend, we're looking at this question of who we are. And our first night, if you remember, we talked about that we are a reconciled people. We are made new and we are being made new in Christ. Last night we talked about how through what Jesus has done for us and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are then born into a new family, this family called the church, and specifically this family called Fusion. But is that the end of the story? Does this story of God redeeming humanity and creating this new family, does this story simply end with that family sitting in a living room hanging out with each other? I'm going to suggest this morning that something very powerful can happen when a group of people with common goals and with common values come together to work towards an agreed upon and a believed in mission. Would you pray with me as we begin? Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Jesus, we are so grateful for how you've been speaking to us and how you've been working in us this weekend. And Lord, as we come together to our final time at this retreat, we ask that you would continue to move. Not only would you continue to move in this room this morning, but Lord, we pray that the things that have happened, the things that you have done, the things you have spoken to us this weekend, Jesus, that they would not stay up here with us, but that we would take them home. That we would be a redeemed people back home as well. That we would be the family of God back home as well. And that we would be a people on a mission back home as well. We love you so much, Jesus. In your name that we pray. Amen. Growing up, I loved to play sports. I was an athlete. And if you saw me in the dodgeball court, you're like, I know, Bo. I believe you with that. I loved to play sports. And if you look at me, you're probably like, what D1 school did Bo play point guard for? You know, I was called to be a pastor, so I had to let my options for college and the NBA pass me by, unfortunately, you know, for the sake of the kingdom. pick up my cross and lay down my hoop dreams, but ball is life. Am I, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Basketball, it was always one of my favorite sports to play. I began playing organized basketball like second or third grade. And when I was in the sixth grade, in my middle school, sixth grade is where you started middle school, I wanted to go out for my middle school basketball team. I tried out for it. But what you need to understand about sixth grade Walker Middle School basketball is that everybody makes a team. Everybody makes a team. Nobody gets cut. But what they do is they create kind of levels of team. So they had the A team, which is for the A team players. And then they had the B team, which is for the B team players. And then they had the B2 team. Not the C team. That would be insulting. The B2 team. And these are for the guys who weren't quite ready, you know, for the B team and certainly not quite ready for the A team. And when they were looking at the B2 team, they're like, we need somebody who's just an amazing baller, a leader, somebody who should be on the A team, but we're going to put him on the B2 team to really help the B2 team be all it could be. And I was like, I'll be that player, you guys. I'll be that player for the B2 team. So I was on the B2 team. And we weren't very good at basketball. And the coach, the guy who was going to coach our team, he had to step out of coaching very early in the season. So my dad, who was an amazing athlete, amazing basketball player, stepped in to be our coach. And we were just terrible. We didn't know the fundamentals. We didn't know anything about teamwork. We were getting into fist fights on the court during games with ourselves. And the fact that the coach's son was punching his own players was a bad thing that was happening. I literally at one point punched a guy on my own team in the middle of a game on the court. Talk about bad news bears, okay? We were just awful. We were awful. And my dad, man, he struggled to try to get us to believe in ourselves. And for the first part of the season, it was brutal. We were a mess out there. However, he didn't give up on us. We kept practicing. He made the rule that at school, all week long, we had to eat lunch together at the same table. We started doing team outings to go and do fun things with each other. He taught us the fundamentals of the game. He taught us about a full court press where when the other team's inbounding the ball, we guard them the entire length of the court. And not only did he teach it to us, he let us name it because he would call it out from the sideline when it was time to do it. And the whole concept of the full court press is that we were like sheepdog herding the guy with the ball to the corner where we'd spring the trap. And this is in the 90s, and there was a movie that had just come out called Babe about a pig who thought it was a sheepdog. And so we were like, we should call this Babe because we thought it would be funny to hear the coach yelling from the sideline, Babe! So we named it Babe. And we learned this press together. And we learned some fundamentals of the game. And eventually, we stopped punching each other on the court. And we started to trust each other a little bit. And we started to communicate with each other about some things. And suddenly, we started to believe together. We started to believe that we could have a good season. We ended up making the playoffs that year. And in the championship game, we played the Walker Middle School A team. And in overtime, beat them on a buzzer beater three-pointer that I did not shoot. That was not me who shot that ball. We were a bunch of individuals who weren't accomplishing anything together. But we began to believe in ourselves, and we began to believe in our mission to win a championship. And something amazing happened when we began to believe in our mission together. We accomplished it. We're going to read the entire portion of 2 Corinthians 5 that we've been going through this weekend. And there's a few things I'm going to highlight, but I wanted to, as we wrap up our final time together, I wanted to read this entire thing again. And Fusion, as we read this, remember the things that we've learned. Remember the things that God has done as we read these passages together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Thank you, Jesus. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen, man. See, I believe that God's plan for the church is not just to be a group of people who gather together once a week, but rather to be made up of people living on mission. There are no bystanders in the church. If you simply attend church, you're not really a part of the church, not the way God designed it to be. Because the church is not just a gathering place. The church is a reconciled people doing the work of helping other people become reconciled to their God. In verse 18, Paul says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry, the work, the duty, the responsibility, the calling, the command of reconciliation. See, if you are in relationship with Jesus, if you've put your faith in Jesus, if you've been reconciled, think back to that event or time of your reconciliation. When did you make that decision to be made right with God? I'm no mind reader, but I would be willing to bet that there was another person involved in that process, wasn't there? I mean, maybe a small handful of you picked up a Bible, read it all by yourself, and placed your trust in Jesus. I would never, ever limit scripture and say that can't happen. I believe it can. But for most of us, someone else was involved in our process of being reconciled, wasn't there? Someone preached. Someone sat over coffee and shared. Someone was praying for you and loving you. And whoever that person was in your life, that person took up the ministry of reconciliation that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen, Fusion, it is not the job of pastors to do the work of reconciliation. I mean, we take part in it and we help lead the church in it. But Ephesians says that Jesus, he calls some to be pastors and some to be teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Pastor's job is to help the church be equipped to do the work of the ministry of reconciliation that all of us are called to. It is all of God's people who share in this calling and this assignment for this ministry of reconciliation. It is the church's job and responsibility to take this up. In verse 20, Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This word implore, there's a sense of begging or pleading involved with this. Now, begging is not something that tends to sit well with me. I never like to be in a place where I'm begging for anything. But in this context, there's an appropriate desperation that we hear, where we are to go to this world and implore with a desperate longing, say, please be reconciled back to your God. Be made right. And I love in this verse, it says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Such an interesting idea, this idea of being an ambassador. You know, an ambassador is somebody who represents a nation in a different nation, in a foreign place. And they go and they move to that place and they live in that place and they represent that place that they came from. See, as ambassadors for Christ, we are representatives of God's kingdom in this world. We are no longer citizens of this world when we place our trust in Christ, but we are living as foreigners in it. Philippians 3:20 tells us, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship has shifted to heaven. When you are made new in Christ and when you are born into a new family, you cease to be a citizen of this planet and instead become what the Bible calls a citizen of heaven. Ambassadors from a foreign place representing that place everywhere you go. Something fascinating about ambassadors is that they live and they do their work in an embassy, right? A building in a foreign nation that's actually part of the nation where that person came from. So all over the world, we have U.S. embassies in all of these nations where the U.S. ambassadors are. And what's interesting is though it's in a foreign nation, the ground that the U.S. embassy is on, that's actually U.S. soil. That's a safe local place for this ambassador in this foreign nation. But here's what's interesting, Fusion, about us as ambassadors for Christ. We do not go to an embassy. Our embassy goes with us. God's presence is our embassy. God's presence is our reminder that we are not citizens of this place, but we are citizens of heaven. Everywhere you go, he is there helping you to be that ambassador that you are called to be. I can't think of a more important time for us as the church to recognize our citizenship of heaven than right now. There's a lot of different feelings about where our nation is right now. I have loved ones, I have family members who are relieved and happy about what's happened with the election. I have loved ones and family members who are extremely upset and scared and fearful about what's happened with the election. And over the last week in particular, I have seen relationships destroyed. I have seen hatred spewed. I have seen fear bubble to the surface. I've seen the ugliest side of our nation come up all on Facebook. I mean, let's be honest. Has anybody posted anything on Facebook in the last week that maybe wasn't totally rooted in love? I know I have. Fear, anger, whatever has come to the surface. But when you think about your response to the presidential election, Fusion, do the words ministry of reconciliation come to mind for you? When you think about your response to the racial tension that we're experiencing in our nation right now, do the words ministry of reconciliation come to mind for you? When you think about your daily interaction with people at work, with different beliefs than you, religious, political, ethical, do the words ministry of reconciliation come to mind for you? Fusion, with everything that we do, in person, on Facebook, on all social media, over text messages, we are called, we are assigned, we are commanded by our loving Creator to be agents of reconciliation in this world. Everything that we do, every conversation that we have, everything that we post should all help us in imploring other people, be reconciled back to God. Be made right with your Creator. Who are we, Fusion? We are a reconciled people, born into a new family, and sent on a mission of reconciliation in this world. This world and this nation is in great need of reconciliation, not just with each other, but with our Creator. Most importantly, with our Creator. And Jesus is our great reconciler. He is the answer to the political unrest. He is the answer to the racial tension. He is the answer to poverty. He is the answer to depression. He is the answer to addiction. He is the answer to hopelessness. He is our reconciler. And Fusion, he is sending us, all of us, to bring that to this world. He's going to do that work. But we have to decide together we believe in this mission and that we will go together. If you are a follower of Jesus, it's because somebody shared the gospel of reconciliation with you. And that ambassador for Christ was a part of your life being changed. Whose life is going to be changed because you took up that mission and said, I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ in this world? How do we do it? How do we participate in this together? In a minute, I'm gonna talk about several next steps that we can take in a decision together to be ambassadors for Christ. But one of the main ways that we can practically take this up together is to decide to be a leader within the Fusion community, reaching out to others and inviting them in. And one of the great ways that we do that is through this thing called life groups. We got a video we're gonna check out right now about our Fusion life groups. Take a look at the screens, guys. Life groups are one of the biggest pieces that we have at Christian Assembly for connecting with each other and learning to be ambassadors of Christ together. In fact, how many of you are a part of a life group? Would you raise your hand if you're part of a life group? That is phenomenal. Absolutely. So grateful for you guys jumping into being a part of a life group. Blake and I are part of a life group, and it has been a huge piece for us in growing in our own followership of Jesus. Not only that, but we help co-lead a life group. And if you're wondering what's a practical way I can be an ambassador for Christ in Fusion and in this city, leading a life group is a great way to do that. If you'd reach under your chair, we have a little card here that has some next steps for you. But these are some ways for you to decide to take up this mission. To say, I believe in the mission of Fusion, and I believe in the mission of Jesus, and I'm going to jump in. I'm going to participate in this thing. And there's a few practical ways that you can decide that you're going to help pull this sled. You're going to be a part of this mission. One is to decide you want to join a life group. If you're not a part of a life group, if you don't have that close community here at Fusion, I cannot encourage you enough. Check that box. We will contact you. We will make it very, very easy for you to find a group of friends and a community to grow with together. So check that box. Also, for the courageous ones, for the brave ones who say, I'm ready to take that next step in being an ambassador for Christ in Fusion and in my city, I want to have a conversation about leading a life group. Check that box. Step up. We need people who will step up towards that. If you're here and you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, but you want to have a conversation with somebody to get some more information on that, check that box that says, I am investigating faith. And I'd like to have a conversation with a Fusion staff member about Jesus. There's nothing that we love more than sitting down with somebody talking about Jesus. A great way for you to decide to lean in towards this mission is to volunteer with Fusion to help make Fusion happen. There is no secret army that we have of people who make it happen. It is you in this room, people like you who decide and say, I'm gonna make this my place. I'm gonna start to serve. I'm not just gonna attend, I'm gonna make this my place. There's some really great ways for you to do that. You could join the Fusion Cafe, making coffee, serving a meal, helping people have a social space to gather after the service. Welcome and hospitality. If you've ever had somebody smile at you and hand you a bulletin when you walked in the doors of Fusion, it's because the brave one said, I will do this. Check that box to help make that happen. Kids Church, we need people so bad who will say once a month, I will hold babies at Fusion so that parents of young children can go into service. We need people to do that. Check that box. Working in the tech booth, in the soundboard. Prayer teams. If anybody here was ministered to last night because people said that we will pray for you, you know how important this is. We need people to join our prayer team. If you feel intimidated by that, we will train you. We will help you. We will make that as easy for you as possible. But join our prayer team. And our worship team. We need people to help lead us through music weekly at Fusion. Check that box. We're also going back to the Czech Republic this next summer, 2017. If you want to be a part of being an ambassador for Christ around the world, check that box. We will get you information on that. We have a lot of other opportunities in our city that we will share with you if you check that last box. If you guys will take just 60 seconds, put your name on that card, pray about it, say, Lord, what are you leading me to? Check those boxes. When you are done, would you guys, can we do this? Can we just pass all the cards to this middle row right here? And once all the cards are in the middle, bring them forward and we'll collect them up here in the front, okay? When we have all the cards, Sean's gonna lead us.